You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coogan Cassis for IFL TV in association with MTK Global, sporting a very festive jumper.
Yeah.
Peter Fury?
Me dog likes this jumper, Coogan.
Your dog?
Yeah. Okay. I've got dog hairs all over it.
How's your Christmas? How's your New Year, Peter?
Yeah, it's just been quiet. Just stayed at home with the family and my mother. So it's been quiet, but that's all you can say about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think everyone was, well, they should have been at home over that kind of period. And yeah, not a lot to do, just spend time with the family and basically crack on.
Get a load of shit again, like I normally do. And then when I vet it, get all depressed and all that kind of carry on. But listen, it's once a year, just got to write it off. Put 15, 20 pounds on as normal every year. One of them, innit?
One of them.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do with you today, Peter, is kind of have a recap on 2020. But first of all, did you watch the fight between Luke Campbell and Ryan Garcia last night?
I did. I really enjoyed it. It was a good fight.
What did you make of Garcia's performance? Obviously, having to climb up off the canvas in round two to then knock Luke Campbell out in the seventh round.
Well, what I make of it, you've only got to look at Luke Campbell, haven't you? You know, this is somebody that's been in with and give him all the hard work. You know, Lomachenko he went in with, gone the full 12 rounds, Linares. And he's improved Campbell. And let's not forget, he's an Olympian gold medalist. Yeah, southpaw, big puncher, and didn't do anything wrong in there. You know, he fought the perfect tactics and everything else. But just the way, what you've got to look at here, he just looked, when he was looking at both fighters, he was only looking at Garcia. You know, he was that much looked ahead of it. You know, so comfortable. You know, he just looked, he was on a different level completely. So when you're looking at that, and you look at that level compared to somebody who's highly capable of being a world champion in Campbell, and how he got up as well, you know, and everything about him, he's a special talent. He's probably going to be the future of boxing in that division.
That division is probably one of, if not the strongest weight class on the world scene. There's the talent in that division is frightening.
I agree. You've got to look at all of them. You couldn't say he can beat any of the other ones because that's the type of talent that's in there. But what I will say is, for 22 years of age, to take on somebody like Luke Campbell is, on paper, I said it before, you've got to say Luke Campbell should have walked that fight on paper. And who he's been in with, the experience levels. But, you know, look what happened. You know, when you're really special and you're on like, a different level, like a Canelo, like a Mayweather level, this is what you come across every now and again. And he's definitely one of them. And he's proved that yesterday.
Some of them names in that division, the likes of Gervonta Davis, Tank, Devin Haney, Lopez. I mean, these are the future stars of the sport, aren't they?
They would. I think for me, if it was me, I'm not saying he couldn't beat Tank or anyone in that division, but I'd just stay clear of him for the moment because, you know, that Tank is a serious fella. He's not going to be put away. He's not going to stop that Tank for sure. And, that's a dangerous fight for a 22-year-old, a really dangerous fight because he's another level again.
Mm. And in regards to Luke Campbell, obviously falling short against, I mean, he's not in bad company, Jorge Linares, Vasyl Lomachenko, and now Ryan Garcia. But what now for Luke Campbell, Peter, in your opinion?
I still think he can win a world title. You know, look, we all need to understand he's come up against a phenomenal fighter. You know, he's come up against a real special talent that only come around once in a while. You know, another one like him was Oscar De La Hoya, you know, looks after him. So that's how long it's been. So there's no they've just got to take stock that they fought somebody, you know, that special that becomes, that is special that comes every now and again. So he's capable of winning a world title. He's just got to keep to it, and that's it. But the shot he took would have probably put anybody away.
Yeah, but it was a great seven rounds, and it was a great start to the year. But obviously, then we wake up to the news today that boxing in the UK has been put on hold at least till the end of the month, which isn't great. There was an MTK show scheduled in January, and there was also the show between Josh Kelly and David Avanesian, which was scheduled for the 30th of January. So, yeah, a little bit of a waiting game before we know that UK boxing is back in the fold.
Yeah, I spoke to MTK this morning about it. Yes, January's cancelled, and we have to see what happens in February. They're going to reassess it in January, because I also received an email from the boxing board myself stating the same. So there's not a lot can be done. We just got to ride the storm and do what we've always done and try and get fights on the best way they can get them on, whether it be here, abroad. I don't think any fights are going to happen in January anyway. So let's see what happens in February. Hopefully, now these vaccines have come out, they might shed a different light on it.
Well, we certainly hope so. Peter, just to kind of looking back on 2020, it's been a strange year in life, not just boxing, but we are talking about boxing. We didn't have like the full year of boxing. We had like 4 or 5 months where there was no boxing here in the UK, especially. So it's difficult to kind of pinpoint specific, you know, like performances or certain fighters, because they haven't had the full year that they would have normally have had. But was there anyone in particular that stood out for you as kind of a fighter of 2020 for you?
I'm terrible when I go to reminisce, you know. It's, you know, the old mind's not as it used to be, Coogan. So you'll have to run some fights past me, and I'll soon tell you. I'm trying to think. There's been some good fights on. I just can't think off my mind who.
It is difficult because a lot of fighters only fought the once last year as well. They weren't kind of judged on. Very few fighters fought twice in at the kind of the top level. I suppose we can go back to it seems like an eternity ago, but in 2020 we did see Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, which I suppose from a world perspective was the performance of 2020 from Tyson, Peter.
Yeah, you got to agree. There's that one. There's been some good fights, hasn't he? But he went over there to America and he done what he done to Wilder. He had the first fight, and that was like a little bit here and there. And then he regrouped to come back and done what he had to do. So yeah, got to give credit where it's due, haven't you?
And then again, if we're talking about kind of sticking with the heavyweights, Joshua again only fought the once this year. We spoke about that the morning after his win over Pulev, got the job done. But it's difficult to assess them over the year because of kind of the missing blank period that they all kind of were affected by at some point.
Yeah, you know, he's had a good fight as well. You know, Joshua's improving. I've seen improvements in that fight he had with Pulev. You know, he was very calm and patient, took his time. So when I watched it back on the TV, when I got back, because when you're looking at it there and then and you're watching it real time, you know, it's another story. But when you get back and see it on the television, you've got more time to sit back and have a look at it. But I thought he'd done well. It was a controlled performance. And he didn't take many risks. So it was, he's getting cleverer as time's going on. So it was a good win for him. Mm. I liked Usyk and Chisora, because Usyk showed that he belongs in there. And Chisora, what an improvement he's made. You know, he's a different fighter today as well. So it was all good fights, to be fair.
And obviously hasn't been as active as you would have wanted, Peter, but your boy Huey as well has shown improvements this year, or say this year, in 2020.
Yeah, Huey showed improvements because he was able to have a fight with a 20-stone, you know, giant. And, you know, whack is no mug. And he took the fight to him. And like it's a fair comment to say, he had a fight with him and also outboxed him. he was able to change his game up, and he was injured as well. So that was good from Yui. Yui's still got quite a bit to work on. You know, he's got to take that eagerness out. And, you know, boxing's about being patient and, you know, finding your shots, you know, and executing it properly. But look, it's he wanted to impress that night. He had a lot of weight on his shoulders as well. So, you know, it's all a learning curve for him again. So, like I said, we're getting busy. Hopefully he'll fight in April. And that's it. We'll see. We'll look to see improvements again. But he's on the right track. He's filled out. He's a man now. He's not a young heavyweight. So although he's still a young heavyweight, but like I said, he's filled out. So he's just going to get better and better now. It's just what it is with Yui now. He's just polishing the things he needs to do. And I think the WAC fight was a very good fight for him, because when he seen me at Christmas and we watched it together, I just pulled it to pieces. I'm not interested in the positives. I'm looking at what he needs to do to be a world champion. Beating WAC is one thing. Yeah. To be a world champion, you've got to keep stepping up. And I showed him what he didn't do, pointed out the things he needs to work on. And he'll just work away with that now and look to correct them shortcomings in his next fight.
How blunt and direct are you in them situations where you're sitting there watching back a fight, which he won, but how kind of brutally direct are you in that respect when you've got to tell him exactly, maybe some things he don't want to hear, but you've got to tell him it anyway?
You have to do, you know, look, it's, you know, what can I say about it? You've just got to say it as it is. I know what I'm looking at in boxing, and I know what he needs to do. And if I wasn't telling him the way I'm telling him, then he's going to come short, you know. So he needs to work on the stuff I'm telling him. It's only for his own good. It's my son, isn't it? You want the best for him. So at the end of the day, he's got to listen, take on board, which he does listen. He does understand. But, you know, overall, it was a better performance from Yui, because he's coming forward. He's holding his feet more. He's letting his hands go. You know, just the timing of it all and the rushing, you know, that's what made it messy early on. And there was no need to make it messy. He could have made it a lot easier with a lot less effort. And that's what it's called, you know, being a little bit eager, being too anxious, thinking about, I need to put on a good performance. All those are ingredients for a fuck-up. Yeah? When you're thinking like that, that's the ingredients to say, I'm going to make mistakes. You know, you just can't think, oh, I've got the best chin in the world, I'll take these shots, because you won't. When you get it properly, you can be bowled over. And he took some shots there. I'm not saying you're not going to take shots anyway, but he just, with the skill set that he's got, if he can back off and take his time and relax, and then we're going to see something special in Yui, because he is as tough as teak, and he's game. He'll fight anybody. And like I said, you'd have to basically kill him in there to quit. You know, he's not got that in his vocabulary at all. So he's got all the ingredients to be a world-class fighter. He's just got to start showing it. And by showing it, all he needs to do is relax, let his boxing do the talking, and be patient to land the bombs, because there's 10 or 12 rounds to land them. Don't need to land them so early.
Peter, there was a lot of standout women's fights from 2020 as well. Obviously, we saw Katie Taylor, very impressive. We saw Terry Harper, very impressive. We saw a great fight, obviously, with Natasha Jonas as well. Your Clarissa Shields with a great world title win in 2020 as well. It was a strong year for women's boxing, really, wasn't it?
Strongest, you know. You've got to say that women's boxing is flying up. And when I said last year that women's boxing is soon going to be on the same level as men's, it is. And that's partly mostly thanks to Matchroom, isn't it? For putting them women fights on. It's put a lot of women fights on, but look what it's done. You know, it's made the public sit up and realise that, you know, these women can fight. So I enjoy it. Anyway, I look forward to the women fighting.
Yeah, like I said, that was one of the kind of the positives from the lockdown boxing. The amount of women boxing, that was pretty much on every show, there was at least one female fight on there. So that definitely flourished in that period.
It did, you know. So like you said, Savannah's now a world champion. She's chomping at the bit. I think she's back in the gym tomorrow. She's working with Yui. spoke to her this morning. She's ready, and yeah, the future is very bright for Savannah. I think we're going to have a future major star in Savannah for English women's boxing.
Would you say that the biggest surprise of 2020 was Povetkin's win over Dillian White? Is that a fair shout for that one?
It's up there because he was bossing the fight, wasn't he? You know, at no time did you think, you know, I thought Povetkin's only got a couple of rounds left until it happened, you know. So, but the only thing that did shock me a little bit, I was watching Povetkin when he was going down. I think he went down a couple of times, didn't he?
Yeah.
And, you know, the way he was getting up, you know, it was almost as if he was more unstable on his legs than hurt. Like he lost his balance and stuff. Because when he got up, he seemed perfectly fine, didn't he? So I don't know what type of... That was a little bit mystery to me. Because he didn't get up and seem like a fighter that was finished. He was still dangerous, you know. He was still getting on with his job. Whether that's sheer experience is another matter. It probably is. But, yeah, that... I've never seen a shot like it, to be fair. That was a beautiful setup shot. He leaned right over, planted the weight on the lead foot, you know, and that uppercut come out, well, it come out the sky, didn't it? You know, he just totally camouflaged it and put a brilliant shot together. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Dillian White back next year. And I think rather than looking at other fights, I think he needs that fight with Povetkin. So I think he needs to get that one under his belt. I know Povetkin's been ill. Can't see Povetkin swerving Dillian White. You know, he's a fighting man, isn't he? He's shown time and time again. But I think with the win over Dillian White, they're thinking, let's not take any chances here. Let's train exceedingly hard, because if we get through this, we're back knocking on the door for a world championship again. So they're probably looking at it like that. And with him having COVID, they probably thought, you know, let's just sack it, have a rest, and go after going the new year. But I think the fight will happen. It's going to be good.
If you were to list a couple of fights that you definitely want to see this year or get made this year in 2021, what would you say, Peter, if I was to ask you for two fights?
I'd like to see all the fights. I'd like to see... I think Wilder's been mentioned with Usyk. I'd like to see that fight. Obviously, there's the Tyson with Joshua. Everybody wants to see that. I'd like to see that. Who else is all the? You know what? I'd like to see when they're up there and the world champions, I'd like to see them fight each other all the best and, you know, get it on with. You know, it's like Garcia now. We want to see who's the best in that division and pit them all straight away if we could. We'd have them month after month, wouldn't we? So,
Terence Crawford and Errol Spence.
Yeah, that's a fight that needs to happen. Everybody needs to see that fight. You know, Crawford, what a fighter he is. So nobody can say Errol Spence is going to win that fight. That's definitely a pick-em fight. You know, because Crawford is he's another level, and he's never really got... Seems to me Crawford has never really got that superstardom, has he? So I think... and it's deserved because of his skill set. So it'd be nice to see him in a super fight like that.
I suppose we can add Billy Joe to get his shot at Canelo this year as well.
Yeah, again, you know, I think with Billy Joe, with him super conditioned as he needs to be, he can cause all kind of problems for Canelo because he's a good boxer himself, you know, and he's got a good chin on him, Billy Joe, so he'll put up a very good fight. So that'll be a good fight as well. I'd like to see that. Yeah, so there's that much. And I was very impressed with Canelo, though, against Smith. That was he executed that to perfection. So, again, there's some good fights. But not only good fights to be made, some good fights to see. You know, when you see that level of skill, you know, and put them shots together. And I was listening to the corner with Garcia, you know, and this is what I mean. This is something you each should relate to and watch the Garcia fight and listen to the corner work. And even Canelo was shouting, you know, take your time. Stay calm, think, you know, that was the main instructions for Garcia, you know, because when you're young, you want to just impress, you tend to rush in. So that's the advice he was giving Garcia was spot on. So getting back to my question, it was very good to see these type of fights and to see the skill set, not just for the fights, to see these fights. There's a good fights, aren't they? Good to watch.
Mm. But I think you're right. When we see the best two in any weight division fighting each other, and it happens, but not often enough. But they're the fights we want to see. We want to see the one and two in the divisions, whoever they may be, whatever belts they've got, the best two fighting each other. That's basically what we want, isn't it?
Of course you do. Look, you know, if it was me and I was a world champion, I want to fight everybody. If I'd want to fight the lot, I'd want to say, well, listen, I'm not the best because that cunt's got a world championship on ease. So you'd want it, wouldn't you? So, so like I say, if you're the real deal, there's no need to be a tosser, is there? Get in there and have a fight.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, is it a personal preference, Peter, time-wise, why you don't train more fighters? Because I'm assuming there's a lot of fighters that would want to be trained by you. But what is it, a time thing for you?
Yeah, I think more than anything, I like to complete a task. You know, I can say every fighter I've worked with at the minute has become a world champion. So, you know, so I'm really, there's only UE left to get a world title. Then I can say everybody I've worked with, you know, I've helped them to get a world championship around the waist. And that's a big thing for me. I'm not interested in taking... Look, I'll help anybody. I'll give anybody advice. They can come to the gym. I'll help them. I'll even take them on the pads. You know, I'm a nice person. I'm not a clever Harry that thinks, oh, I'm above these type of people. That's not what I'm saying at all. I've got time for everybody. And everybody who knows me knows that. Mm. But for me to put my time into somebody... It wouldn't be fair to them, and it's not fair to myself because I just haven't got the time to do it. You know, so I do this as a. I wouldn't say a hobby because it's not an hobby because it's a full time thing, isn't it? Mm. So an hobby is somebody you're going to have a game of golf. You know, this is not a game of golf, is it, Coogan? 24/7. Look, I was saying to Mick Hennessy the other day. I spoke to him, yeah, and I said to him, I said, when I look back when I started this boxing, I said, I had a proper dark hair. I said, I look fucking 20 years older. You know? So this boxing, and you want to put the level of commitment in, it takes it out of you. Even when the fights have started, you know, it takes me a month to calm down. You know? Because I'm in that zone with the boxing. So it takes a while. So it does take a... When you're doing this sport on a serious level, and what I put into it, I give these fighters everything I've got. Yeah? So how can I give that to 10 people or 5 or 6 or 7?
Look, trainers obviously do
nobody's
that.
Nobody's giving me a pay packet, are they? Nobody's saying, you know, there's a few hundred grand here, a few hundred grand there. Don't forget, yeah, I've got businesses outside of boxing, so there's no money being taken off anybody. So like I said, well, by the time I leave this boxing, I'll probably be on a walking stick and a dithering wreck. That's where I'm headed.
Don't let it stress you out too much, Peter.
No, I'll keep going, Coogan. Listen, I'm mentally warped anyway, so just keep going, isn't it? That's not part of course for me. I'll tell you what I'm going to say on this video, though. I always watch what Enzo Macronelli's got to say, yeah?
Yeah,
with his videos, you know, and I'm looking at his videos, you know, I'm 3 miles in, I've got another 10 to go, and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, you know, the determination he's got and the way he speaks is very good, and he will help a lot of people because he's genuine in what he says. So I enjoy his videos. And Enzo, if you're listening to this, I'm going to try and start. I'm going to try and start with 500 yards tomorrow and build up.
I'll tell you what, if you do 500 yards, Peter, I'll match you. I don't know if I'll go beyond that, but I'll match you.
Yeah, you know, don't you?
He's a good guy, Enzo, though. He's a very good
Very good. He's a genuine fella. He's taking his time out to... And he's right. And the reason I say that is because he's right, because when you're training, you feel so much better. It's like I've not done anything now for a month or 6 weeks. And, like, you know, you start thinking to yourself, don't you? What the fuck is this life about now? You know, this, that and the other. And you start overthinking. When you're training, everything's good. Everything's nice. When you're not, it's not nice, is it? So it does help. It helps a lot. And only us people with warped minds, yeah, what's not mentally fully ticking, will understand what Enzo's saying because we're in the same club. So we all need some assistance somewhere.
I'll tell you what, when just talking about social media, I do find when you're watching boxing at home, you find yourself on Twitter as much as you are actually watching the fucking fights. So you've got sometimes, like, you are in between. You're looking at kind of what everyone else's opinions are and if they're seeing the same things you are. And, yeah, it's become a new way of watching fights, I tell you that.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Sometimes I interact with the fans on there when I'm watching it and I'm giving comments and, you know, as if they're commenting back. And it's good because we're all the same, you know. We're all watching the same fights, so it's good to get feedback on what people see. But it tells me just how knowledgeable people have become in boxing. Because there's not many fools out there that say, oh, this, that and the other. There's a lot of educated comments coming back. You know, they can read fights just as good as anybody else. So that's a good thing for boxing. Yeah. I enjoy the interaction with the fans. It's all about the fans anyway, isn't it?
What does it take for you to block someone on Twitter, Peter?
Well, I'm not into abusing anybody. I don't like abuse, yeah? I don't need people to remind me about my criminal past. Listen, I am what I am. I'm never gonna be knighted by the Queen, am I? So we all know that, yeah? So let's just get real here. What you are, you know, the past is the past. What we are today is different from the past. We all do things, we all make mistakes. So I'm not interested in people being derogatory or people that's being really negative, you know? You know, you got to be constructive, you know, and listening to bullshit. And there's one thing, having negative criticism, which is healthy, where people's giving a genuine comment what they think. You can see that in the way they write it. So that's fine. I ain't got a problem with anything that says, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. That's all good. But you just know somebody that's singling you out and having a dig, you know, somebody you genuinely just don't like the person. So that, I'll just block them. They're not worthy of my time anyway. I've got no interest arguing with a fool because I'll become a fool just like them.
Yeah, I think you can tell the difference between someone trying to provoke a reaction from you to try and, yeah, basically singling you out as opposed to a constructive comment. Listen, right or wrong, if they can back up what they're saying, that's not a problem, is it? It's when they're being, there's an agenda behind it, shall we say.
Yeah, if people can back up what I'm saying, it's fine, you know. People can say, look, I've had people, you know, write in and say, you know, you eat shit, he runs away, he's this and he's that and the other and this, that and the other, and they've commented and, you know, I'm not interested in that kind of talk. And then you'll get another comment to say, well, look, he backs off too much, he needs to do this, he needs to do that, he's very negative. That's no problem because it's all stuff that we know anyway. So, yeah, any advice, I'll listen to any constructive advice, whether it's criticism or what else. But criticism is healthy. It's not negative. You know, there's a difference between negative and criticism, isn't there? So we know when somebody's being a sly bastard, you know. So we don't want to listen to that cougar, do we?
Absolutely not. But my tolerance levels on Twitter have got very short over the years. As soon as I see something, I think, if you just block them, you don't give them the second opportunity to say something. Like I said, if someone said, look, I didn't really like that, and they write something what you think is constructive, I think, okay, but then when they're just...
I spoke to somebody on the phone the other day, I've known him a long time, and he said to me, Peter, I've got to really say, you know, I've watched some of your videos lately and you're starting to swear a lot. He said, and it's not good, you know. And he's right, you know, and it ain't good. I don't like to hear swearing myself, to be honest, but sometimes I can't help it. It just comes out. So, that's a whole lot I can do, isn't it?
If that's one of your only flaws, Peter, you're not doing too badly. I don't think that's...
I'd like to not swear at all. I'd like to speak all perfect, you know, and not say words twice. But it's just where I am. I can't help it, Coogan.
Oh, dear. All right, well, listen. Yeah, just a catch-up, obviously, just to kick off 2021. Obviously, boxing's non-existent for this month, but the stories will still run and the fights are obviously still being made in this month, etc. So we'll we'll see how this month pans out, and hopefully we do see the return of British boxing back in February at the earliest.
I think we will, and I think 21 is going to see some very good fights. I really do. I'm positive about this year. I think we're going to see some major fights take place. And that was a major fight last night.
Yeah.
Between Campbell and Garcia, you know. These are the type of fights we want to see. But getting back to Campbell, I think he can still do good things. He just come up against an elite once-in-a-lifetime type of fighter. And you do get this. You know, is he capable of winning world titles? Of course he is. You know, look, let's face it. When I say he was bossing the fight, yeah, you could just see the level of him there. But Luke Campbell was in that fight, wasn't he? He had him down, let's not forget. Hit him with a pitch of a straight shot and had him over. So, like I said, anybody could have happened that to anybody. You just can't say, oh, that's right, Luke Campbell off because he's been counted out. Can't talk like that. I'm sure when he sits back and rests up, they'll just get back on with it because styles make fights.
Okay. Well, Peter, thank you very much for your time this Sunday afternoon.
And you, Coogan. It's always good speaking with you.
Yep. We wish you a happy new year to yourself and your family. And
same to you and yours.
We'll
wish everybody a good new year. And that's... I'll be glad to see the back of this COVID, to be honest with you. And so as everybody can get vaccines, whatever they're getting, get some normality back. So that'll be the thing. And I was only thinking, though, just the other day, and before this happened, though, people was together. And you see them fights like yesterday with Canelo wearing masks and everybody wearing masks in the crowd. You know, it's not a nice thing to see, is it? You know, it makes you appreciate what we had. But this is the life over. You always appreciate what you had when it's gone.
No.
That's life itself. Yeah. So hopefully we can get back to that normality. And I believe we will do. I think once we get past March into April and you get all these vaccines sorted out, I think we'll bounce back. Please God, we do anyway.
Certainly hope so. Peter, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV and we'll definitely catch up with you again soon.
And you, Coogan. Take care, mate.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.